Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's go to the Northeast Ohio Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and we're joined by Tim Brando. Tim, great to have you with us.
Andy, hey, Jeff, it's good to be with both of you. How are you today?
We're doing well. How are you hanging in there during this stuff?
Well, as best as I can, doing some things that I ordinarily wouldn't necessarily have the time to do, but this is the time of the year when I'm generally recharging my battery after basketball season and before football season. So I have a stretch usually after March Madness and before Tow Meets Pigskin in late August to get my act together anyway. I just unfortunately haven't gotten to play any golf, which hopefully I'll, now that we've reopened, maybe be able to do in the not-too-distant future. I'm jonesing for golf, but other than that, I'm doing all the things for my family and my grandkids that I need to be doing, I think.
Oh, I thought you were going to use the other word. You were going to say, I'm doing my honey-do list. The honey-do
well,
list
yeah,
is sitting
too.
Around all year
long. A lot of
play.
Home Depot dirt, a lot of Miracle-Gro in my background of late.
Isn't that the truth?
That was last segment for us. We were talking about doing exactly the same thing. Tim, I'm really curious your thoughts on the future of college football right now and what's going to happen and what you think is going to happen, because I think the trickle-down effect from college football affects all of college athletics.
Oh, no question. I'm not nearly as pessimistic as apparently a lot of others are. I talk with as many athletic directors and conference commissioners as anyone. In fact, I, in the last couple of weeks, have talked to three ADs and two conference commissioners. And to a man, all of them have said, we're on go for an on-time start. Now, a lot can change and likely will change between now and decision-making day. I think a lot of what's happening, fellas, a lot is going on because we have no direct leader for the sport. You know, I have been a big proponent of college football needing a czar, someone that the commissioners could report to, someone that could see the sport from 30,000 feet, look out for the totality of the product, not just be in charge of your conference. You know, the conference commissioners are doing a great job. I think probably a better job than maybe in the history of the sport in staying in contact with their constituents, teleconferences multiple times during the week with all of their ADs in all of the different leagues. And plans are being made to make sure that all of these student athletes, when they do get on campus, will be tested, that not only will they be tested, but the coaches will be tested and the officials who are there for scrimmages during 7-on-7 drills and everything else are tested. And those contingency plans that they have in place, depending upon what happens, are all set. I mean, they are. But, I mean, what we have from time to time are people speaking out of turn, whether it's a college president, whether it was Mark Emmert, who had no business talking the end of last week about, well, if there's no one on campus going to class, then we can't have football. Well, he had to walk that back, and he did late last week. You know, he had to come back and walk. Mark Emmert has no business talking about when college football opens. Of course, he comes back and says, well, we're going to leave it up to them. Well, of course you're going to leave it up to them. You haven't had jurisdiction over college football since 1984 Supreme Court lawsuit went against the NCAA. So just stop. We don't need that kind of rhetoric. What we need is everyone to continue doing what they're doing, remain vigilant, And no decisions need to be made. This guy out in California that decided to shut down the California system, saying that, you know what, we're not going to have any classes on campus at all. It's all going to be online. And he's doing that. He's making this decision in mid-May when he doesn't have to. Okay, you don't have to make that decision until mid to late July. College football does not necessarily have to make any decision now, and it should wait until we know more and the data is more up to date. Most of these coaches that I talk to, and certainly the ADs, believe that by this time next month, like mid to late June, you got to have your plan together on when you're bringing them in. Are you going to bring them in on July 1? Are you going to bring them in on July 15th? You really need at minimum, okay, at minimum 4 to 6 weeks to get your guys ready to go. And I think a lot of the SEC could have, they're going to have a decision made, I think, this week as to whether they're going to have players arriving for their fall camp workouts on June 1st or June 15th. So I remain confident that we may not have college football in the same, it may not be exactly the same as it has been in the past, but I think we'll have it before the end of the calendar year. We're going to have college football.
Tim Brando joining us, college football, college basketball announcer for Fox Sports. And as we said, Tim, before you joined us, you've called everything under the sun. Can they do college football this year? Do you think they can pull it off if students aren't on campus? I mean, are the students getting back to their campus essential for the return of the game?
Well, I think the answer to that lies in the different quotes that you've seen from those that are in positions of leadership. You know, these bold pronouncements that, no, we can't have. The optics would be just what. Joe Burrow never set foot in a classroom at LSU. He did all of his work online. All right? And he's not alone. There's a ton of student-athletes and students that do the great majority of their work online. Yeah, I can see where there may be some optics and a few special interest groups that might get up in arms if, in fact, no students are at some schools and yet the student-athletes are competing. But there have been many times when school's out and players remain on campus, like oh, by the way, the summer, and oh, by the way, during the holidays, when college athletes are playing in basketball tournaments all across the globe during the holiday season. No one's in school, but those kids are out competing. So I don't know why we make such a big deal out of that, other than, oh, by the way, the political correctness factor that's in play. I do believe that there's some substance to the need for students to go to real class if, in fact, they're going to have students going to the games. But we don't know to the extent that they can have students going to the games. That's, I think, the bigger issue for ADs right now. They believe they're going to play. Now, how are they going to handle making sure that those students get in, that the fans are able to have social distancing? You know, it's those kinds of decisions for the spectators that I think are at the very top of the list for the business infrastructure of college football returning. The coaches themselves are dealing more with the athlete issue and player safety, and that remains the number one concern, as does the science. Let's see what the science is telling us in time. Again, I go back to this doom and gloom that's coming from so many, because there are leaders that have no business making statements about whether we're going to play or not play, making themselves feel important by seeing their names in bold print when we don't need that right now, okay? Just do your job and get everyone prepared for the opening of college football, when or if it happens. I think there's a very good chance we could see the start of the season postponed based on when they can get the athletes in. I think that's the number one concern, fellas. If you can't get the players in by mid-July, and let's say it's going to be the latter stages of July before you can get everybody in, then I think the conferences have to get together and say, okay, do we want to just move things back 2 or 3 weeks? And I have no problem with that. If the regular season ends basically at Thanksgiving anyway, you have championship week the first week of December.
Right,
where the Big Ten and SEC and ACC and Big 12 have their championship games. What's wrong with moving it back 3 weeks or a month? You could easily get it in before the end of the calendar year even if you postpone the start of the season by 4 weeks.
Yeah, Tim, the only thing I would think of there would be just, you know, rearranging bowl games and trying to – but, again, you've got enough time to figure that out. But I want to go back to something you brought up that I thought was really interesting, and that's having a czar for football. And I think, man, if there was ever a time where someone needed a czar, it was college basketball the weekend before. And if you really want to make your argument for a czar, all you have to do is pinpoint to the weekend of the conference tournaments and say, this is it. This is why we need a czar.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing that last game they called at halftime on March 12th when college basketball and all of sports stopped. And those were bad optics for the Big East when that game ended the way it did. But by the way, the NCAA president wasn't even talking to the conference commissioners when they decided that they were going to have an NCAA tournament. And, oh, by the way, didn't inform any of those conference commissioners that they wouldn't have crowds at those games. So it put egg on the face of all the conference tournaments, whether it was in Indianapolis with the Big Ten, Nashville with the SEC, Greensboro with the ACC. It was just sad, the lack of communication. Well, that's a problem in football too. I think the conference commissioners who govern by and large the college football playoff, I mean, that's the consortium that runs things, and the other conference commissioners of the group of five follow suit. There is no direct leadership, no one to turn to give purview on what's going on. In other words, if what's happening in the Big Ten doesn't look good in the SEC and vice versa, there needs to be someone there for the conference commissioners to seek counsel from. And I'm gonna bring up Oliver Luck's name because before he started up as commissioner of the XFL for Vince McMahon, and he's now involved in a lawsuit, he was working in the football aspects of the NCAA as sort of a liaison for Emmert. But it was a position with title but no juice. There was no juice to the position because the NCAA has, you know, they don't have any jurisdiction, really. Other than, you know what the NCAA does for college football? It sanctions bowl games that we don't watch, and it runs their policing agency, which is not as good as Yahoo's writers. Okay, Yahoo does a better job of investigating what's going on in intercollegiate athletics than does the NCAA. Okay, that's what
Tim. That might
do.
Be one of the most truthful statements I've ever heard on our show.
Well, thank you. I've been saying this. I've been saying this about a czar for college football for a long time. I'm not talking about stripping any power from the conference commissioners, but what I'm talking about is having someone that they can turn to say, okay, this is what we're thinking, and let's pool our thoughts and gather some consensus so that we don't have the wild, wild west out there where the Big Ten is doing this, the SEC is doing that, because that happens from time to time. There are not enough hours in the day for these commissioners to get on the phone with one another. They're too busy with their 14 athletic directors and presidents who they work for. You know, the conference commissioners serve at the pleasure of the presidents of the universities. So that's a lot to ask for them. But a guy like Oliver Luck, who is an entrepreneur, who is a past athletic director, who is a hell of a player himself, he understands the infrastructure of intercollegiate athletics and specifically college football in ways people can't imagine. Put him to work and trust in him. I think it would – and by the way – it would limit some of these statements that are making news on Twitter every day that changes and tilts the political views that people have of whether college football should or should not be played. Let's wait. You know, let's not get caught up in the politicalization of what's happening in news in sports, okay? Sports should be a unifier, not a divider. We can let the polarization of the political views of many with regard to COVID-19, let that stay there. But in sports, we are to unify. And to do that, I think you need a leader, someone else to turn to. And boy, is that not obvious during this process that we've been going through, where one day someone says this, another day another guy says that, and it just looks like, well, who's in charge? And the answer is no one.
Tim Brando joining us. You hear him all over the place doing college football on Fox, basketball on Fox, and has done so many things over the years. I think there's an even brighter spotlight now, Tim, on the importance of college football and college basketball to everything else going on in intercollegiate athletics. Everybody knew it, but for instance, here in Ohio, Bowling Green canceled baseball the other day. The University of Akron dumped women's tennis and men's golf and another men's sport. And you're seeing all of these economic factors. And I've always thought, man, those two things are generating all the revenue for everybody else. It's just it's a weird dynamic that I never thought could last. And I'm wondering if you think it will last moving forward, or if some different type of structure has to take place.
All it does is underscore the mismanagement of funds in intercollegiate athletics for a long period of time. And by that, let me say this. Okay, if you're the major flagship university in the state, Ohio State and Columbus, and you have how many sports? I think, is it upward of 30, I believe they have?
Yeah, it's
think
huge.
About the number that Gene Smith has to manage. I think it's in that neighborhood. I'm not exactly sure. It could be more than that. But, you know, filling up the horseshoe and playing those seven home games mean a hell of a lot to keeping all of those non-revenue producing sports alive and well. Even there, with all of the financial upside that they have, the incredible donors, the alumni base, all of the television money, they get more television money than any other conference in the Big Ten. And oh, by the way, if you make some mistakes in coaching hires, and let's say, for instance, you were paying off two coaches, okay, that's going on at some places. Plus,
yeah, we call it the Cleveland Browns.
$5 million head coach. You can't afford to make those mistakes anymore.
Yeah.
All right, you simply can't. And if schools of the magnitude of Ohio State or Oklahoma or LSU or Florida or Georgia or Alabama, if they start dropping sports, then you're going to see not only fear, but you're going to see the Akrons and the Ohio U's and the ULMs and the where I went to school, or the Sun Belt teams, or the UCFs that made such great strides in the American Conference. You're going to see them not only losing their non-revenue producing sports, but the potential of losing their football programs, because they don't have the kind of donors and the infrastructure financially that Big Ten powers or SEC powers may have. If they don't get to play their non-conference games, okay? Now, granted, the checks won't be as big this year because we don't have as many fans in the stands, and usually that's the percentage of the gate. The gate is what's responsible for the payout. But some of the schools in the Mountain West Conference and the Sun Belt and Conference USA, they are a third or a fourth of their budget comes from playing games at Ohio State or games at LSU or Georgia or Auburn or games out west in the Mountain West playing a Pac-12 school like Oregon or Washington. You take those games away from those schools, that's a fourth or fifth, as I mentioned, of their annual athletic budget. They will cease to exist. So, yeah, it's a very big deal that college football, that's why the notion that they'll move heaven and earth, and I'm sure you've heard that, heaven and earth will be moved to get this college football season in. That's why. You know, a lot of fans don't realize the peril that's facing. They think of college football as entertainment just like the NFL. It's a different animal, completely different animal, and far more for college football to lose than the NFL or any pro sport to lose.
Tim, I've enjoyed your work for decades. You're one of the best in the business, and we can't thank you enough for your time today.
Fellas, it was a real pleasure. And by the way, I'm a real fan of your producer, just so you know.
Which one, Dan?
I'm a big fan of Meredith.
Oh, Miss Meredith. Well, so are
Miss
we.
Miss Meredith. She worked That's with great. Me.
Do we have time for a story?
In the last few years of my my show over on SiriusXM, she worked with me. She's a beaming light of promise. So take good care of her.
Absolutely, Tim. Thank you.
Thanks,
take
Tim.
Care. All the best.
Tim Brando joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.